Seated in the presence of the Lord. Good morning, church. It is a great joy once again to be with you in the house of the Lord. Please, let's turn together to Hebrews chapter number 2. I know you are longing so much to go back to Matthew, but for now, we'll just stick to where we are today. Hebrews chapter number 2. We will read together from verse 1 to verse 4, although we'll spend most of our time looking at verse number 3. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 1 to 4. And I will read from the ESV, and it reads as following. Therefore, we must pay much close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by the angels proved to be reliable and very transgressions, and every transgression or disobedience received a just reputation, how shall we escape, that's verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? The title of this message this morning, do not neglect your salvation. May the good Lord add a blessing then to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. What is ignorance? When you say do not neglect your salvation, what is ignorance? Ignorance, church, is a refusal to take notice of something. It's to look away from that particular thing that you should be looking at. It is to fail to acknowledge that something. It is to fail to pay careful attention to something. Ignorance, church, is a disease which we normally look over it and we don't want to deal with it. We don't aim in this life to deal with ignorance. Though ignorance, church, it is human nature, but ignorance brings with serious consequences. There are serious consequences which come with ignorance. If you read the book of Hebrews, and you know from all our preaching and your personal reading of the Word of God, the people of Israel in the wilderness, they ignored the Word of God. They ignored the prophets of God who spoke to them. They ignored Moses, they ignored Joshua, they ignored the good example of good men who lived among them. And what happened? They ended up in the wilderness being beaten by snakes. Most of them, the Bible tells us that they perished in the wilderness because they ignored the word of God. They ignored their salvation, if you will, because God had saved them from Egypt and was taking them into that promised land. You remember also that in the promised land, they got into the promised land, but soon they ignored the word of God. They ignored their salvation, if you will, and they ended up in captivity in Babylon. They ended up in captivity in Assyria, and most of them returned from Babylon, but those who went to Assyria were never to return until this day. In the same way, in our homes, in our lives, when the husband ignores the wife, when the wife ignores the husband, and parents ignore their children, and the children ignore their parents, the home is doomed. The home remains in ruins because of ignorance. Therefore, church, in the same way, when we ignore salvation, there is great consequences. But of course, someone will say, I have not ignored salvation. I have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am a child of God. I have not ignored salvation. Of course, we have not ignored to respond to salvation. And Christ saved you. but are you continuing in the life that Christ has called you to continue in? Are you not now, since we are saved, ignorant to the fact that you have received what the writer says, a great salvation? It is possible to be saved and then continue and neglect the salvation you have received. Because salvation is a continuous experience. Salvation should be a continuous responsibility which we must not ignore. Therefore, this morning, we want to be reminded not to ignore salvation. And I think it is because it is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is all about not ignoring salvation. It is all about taking heed of that truth, of the faith once delivered to you. Cherishing that old rugged cross, holding fast to the hope you have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look upon that cross and say, Lord, save me, and then He saved you. Christianity is all about holding fast to that experience. So we are going to ask three questions in order to understand this warning to not neglect your salvation. Three questions we are going to ask this morning so that we take heed of this warning before us. But as we aim to answer these three questions, as we aim to bring these questions one at the time, I want you to remember what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. He said to Timothy, feed the flames of God's gift. Of course, he was talking about Timothy feeding the flames of God's gift, whereby Timothy must feed the gift of preaching, the gift of reaching to the lost. But we can apply this word even to us this morning. Feed the flames of God's gift. Since the Bible tells us that salvation is a gift of God through faith, which is also a gift, through grace, which is also a gift. Feed the flames of the gift. This is simply because, church, you do not want to let go of what God has given to you. Because if you fail to feed the flames of that gift which God has given to you, it will go out. We all know that. If you make a little flame out there and you put two pieces of wood and it burns, but then you don't add more wood or anything else, that flame gets to be put out. In other words, Paul was saying to Timothy, keep on adding the gas. Keep on adding petrol or fuel or paraffin, if you will. Keep on adding to the flames of your salvation. Keep on adding to that which God has given to you. Holding fast to the gift of life. Holding fast to the word of God. In the same point which the Apostle Paul brings, he also continues to say, do not be ashamed of speaking openly of Christ. That is another way of feeding the flame. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of living among a godless people, but live in a godly way. Do not be ashamed to be known as a Christian. You get to be ashamed of that. You quench the fires of that which God has given you. Keep that fire burning. So, church, all this that I'm saying to you emphasizes the fact that we have a great salvation that we must not neglect. The first question, what does it mean it is a great salvation? We see here in verse number 3, although we start on the second part of the verse or the middle part of the verse where it says, how shall we escape? We'll get to that. But it says, how shall we escape such a great salvation? I want us to start from that point whereby it says it is a great salvation. What does it mean? It is a great salvation. Actually, church, it is a reminder that this is a great salvation. But I can tell you, as a Christian, you do not necessarily need to be reminded if you have been holding on to the truth of God that this is a great salvation. You have been told day in and day out. You have been told in this church, and when you read your Bible, when you listen to biblical preachings of other pastors, we are being told day by day. This is a great salvation. We know it is a great salvation because it is planned and prepared by God in heaven. God in His heaven, God in His unity, in His Trinity, said and declared that this is great salvation, whereby He chose a people for Himself, that He will save by Himself, by His blood, that He will die for them. If it would take God to put it upon Himself that He will cleanse us from our sin, this is great salvation. That fact alone reminds us that this is great salvation. If it has taken God from heaven to sit and decide, I will save men, those who will come to me through the Lord Jesus Christ and declare their sin and cast their burden, as it were, upon His shoulders, I will save them. I will give them a great gift, a gift of life. They will be transformed or translated from death to life, because this that I give to them is great salvation. I will save the lost when they are in sin. Then only, the only way, church, then, is to remember that this is great salvation, as we shall see later on. That it caused God to come and save us from the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the sins of the future. That He will suffer and die on the cross, that cruel cross, that Roman brutal cross for our sin. So the writer here is trying to make sure that we understand that we have a greater privilege than the believers of the Old Testament. That is all this is about. We have a greater privilege than the people of old. Later on, the writer of Hebrews proves the fact that we have a greater hope, we have a greater privilege. We have this great salvation that was anticipated by the people of old, but we have received it. He says we have a better covenant written in the blood of Christ. He's taking away the assumption, or the knowledge, that covenants were written in the blood of bulls and goats in the past. He says now we have a great covenant written in the blood of Christ, confirmed, in other words, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only the death of Christ, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ and His death, the ascension of the Lord, whereby He was lifted up to heaven alive, and He shall come as He was lifted up in the same manner. He says, we have a better covenant. We have a fuller experience of this salvation. A fuller experience of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this is a great salvation, church, because we clearly and evidently see the love of God as we think and anticipate this passage. And as we talk about this, we see the great love of God. That God will give us His Son. That God would save us from our sin. That our sins will be forgiven by God Himself. That Christ's sacrifice is greater than the sacrifice of the Old Testament. That God's wrath that remained upon those who are wicked, upon those who are sinners, that His wrath is being poured upon His Son. No more to be poured upon us if we believe in Him. We see great love that this salvation gives unto us. That's why it is a great salvation. It comes in a package with love, but the love of God. This is great salvation because we don't live now in this world wondering whether we shall be reconciled to God or not. No, it is great salvation. We are no longer wondering, are we going to be reconciled? No. The Bible says if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to Him. We don't live wandering around whether when we die, we have hope or no hope. We are only wandering around whether when we die, we have hope or no hope, because, only because, maybe we are far from Him. But when we have cherished this old rugged cross, when we have gotten a hold of Him, as it were, when we have clung to that old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, we have hope that we
shall be even saved completely. We don't wander around not knowing shall be reconciled, or are we reconciled. We know that when we have believed in Him, each and every one of us individually receive the Holy Spirit. Not only do we receive the Holy Spirit, but it says all the spiritual gifts are being given upon us. Unlike the Old Testament believers, we have free access to the throne of grace. We do not need a Moses or a high priest, Aaron, that will go for us and atone for our sin and cry on our behalf. But we can cry for ourselves. We can look unto God, not only when we cry, but we can wake up each and every morning and speak to the Lord freely. But the Old Testament people did not have this access. There was this bridge between God and them, represented also in the tabernacle and the temple by that curtain that separated the presence of God and the wickedness of man. But that was torn into two from top to bottom. Why? So that we have a great access to this great salvation. What does this mean, church? We have a greater privilege than the people of old. So we have a greater salvation. Our salvation is being realized already. It is not something that was people looked forward to only, but now it is something that we know it has happened on that cross when Christ died for us. This salvation is great because it drags people out of the miry clay. It drags people out of the fires of hell. It saves people from the jaws of hell. This salvation is great. It saves from sin. Great sin. It saves from all kind of sin. No matter how worse the sin it can be, no matter how gross and serious the sin can be, the adulterer, the murderer, the thief, the liar, the homosexual, whoever it may be, can be saved by this grace. This salvation is great. It does not exclude any kind of sin or any kind of sinner. No one here is immune to be saved by this great salvation. It is great because it is ordered by a great God. It is ordered by a God who has power and authority to bring such salvation into life. Look at verse number 3 and 4. It says, at first this salvation began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with devices or different kinds of miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We see three things here. Three things are mentioned here to affirm this great salvation. Three things are mentioned here for our own admiration of this great salvation. Firstly, if you look at that verse, it says it was preached by the Lord Jesus. Christ preached this great salvation. In other words, the Bible is right, is confirming that Christ went all about the whole land. He went and preached the gospel of peace, going to synagogues and calling people into salvation, calling people into the kingdom of God. Come, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest, the rest of your soul. Christ calling out to sinners to be reconciled to God. It is Christ who preached this gospel first. Yes, we know that people have preached it before him. But there's a reason that it says Christ preached it first. Two reasons I gave to you. Even those who preached it were given that very same gospel by Christ. But remember what I said last week. God preaching to Adam and Eve himself. God himself preaching the gospel. God putting that garment over them that presented the shedding of the blood of Christ that would cover their sins. Christ preached the gospel first. But it also speaks because those who came before Christ, those prophets who came before Christ, who preached this gospel, did not preach the gospel into its completion.
they were preaching the gospel, and then at the same time pointing that there is a Christ that is to come. But Jesus was not one who was sent to preach that way. Christ is the one who came as a promised Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ is the one who preached it first, because Christ is the one who preached it completely. He preached the gospel pointing to God and said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, it is me that you have been waiting for. Are you the Son of God? You said that I am. Are you the Christ? You said that I am. Look at your scripture, what your scripture tells you. He was telling them that everything pointed unto him. So he preached this gospel first. That's how great this gospel is. That's why we cannot let go of this gospel. Secondly, this gospel was also preached by those who heard the gospel. So this gospel is not something that came to people privately. No, it was evident. This gospel had witnesses who lived with Christ, people who lived in that time where Christ was on earth, and they heard Jesus preaching. They saw Jesus preaching, and that impacted their lives. That is why it says, it was preached by those who heard him. It was not something of a private revelation that comes to you alone, and you've got this private revelation and you begin to write a book. No. It is something that is witnessed by many. It is something that the people, when they witnessed it, what did they do? They went out again to tell those who were like them to come to Jesus. It is a gospel that changed a thief, a fisherman liar, into a man of God. It is a gospel that changed and impacted the life of a prostitute and became a devoted follower of Jesus. And then they went out to look for those who were like them by nature. Those who were thieves and liars by nature. Those who were prostitutes by nature. They came because these people heard the gospel of God. That's how great it impacts people's lives. And their lives today impact us. Their lives impact us even today as we read about them. But thirdly, it says it was witnessed by God through signs and wonders. In other words, God was not only behind the ministry of Jesus, church. God was not just assisting Jesus. No, 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 no. God was completely and fully involved in doing all that Christ did. But not only which Christ did. God was behind. He was the one making sure that sinners become saints. He was the one who was making sure that the gospel saves the lost. As the apostles started to preach, as the gospel began to grow, as the church of God began to be known, as the apostle walked the streets and miracles happened, as the apostle preached the gospel and people came to listen, God was behind. God was the one orchestrating, pulling strings, as it were, behind the scene, as a puppet master would pull strings behind the scene. And God was the one making sure that the show is being appreciated. God performed those miracles. It says it was God, through signs and wonders, who witnessed this gospel, this salvation. Therefore, church, this is great salvation. That's what it means. It's great salvation. It is witness preached by those who are actually in heaven, by the creator of this heaven, his heaven and earth. The question remains then, how shall we neglect such great salvation? We will ask the question, how do we do that? But how do we neglect such great salvation if it comes to us through such great, great power? We know it has changed our lives. How do we neglect then this great salvation? You're asking yourself, but how did I neglect this salvation? We'll get to that. Just keep that question. How can someone neglect this great salvation? So church, we need to handle this salvation as something great, because that is what has been proven to us. It is something great. We also need to cherish it as something great. We cannot compare it to something else of this life. It is on its own level, this great salvation. Therefore, our conduct and our response to daily life should be in accordance to this great salvation. We need to show show the world that the Christian faith is the real faith. The Christian faith is the means appointed by God which man and woman can be saved. Only through this Christian faith, man and woman can be saved. Why? Because only this faith produces, provides, gives freely great salvation. Salvation that cannot return back. That's why the Bible says God's callings are without repentance. It is salvation that once it comes out, it does not go back. That is why the word of God says, His word does not go out, return unto Him without doing its purpose. Once a person receives this great salvation, that great salvation get hold of him. Now begins human responsibility. Do not neglect great salvation. It was preached. But secondly, let us get to the second question. What does it mean to neglect such great salvation? We have seen the example of the people of old. We have seen what they have done. But what does that mean to us? We can begin, of course, by bringing out that history of Israel in the Old Testament. As I was mentioning, they were ignorant to God's word. They were ignorant to the preached word of God and to those who preached this word of God. That's how people begin to be ignorant of this great salvation. What they do? They run away from preaching. But you might say, but many people are in churches as we are speaking today. People are not running away from preaching because there's so much preaching and people are in churches now. You can look at the streets. There's a big church out there with a lot of people dancing and marching, wearing a khaki uniform. People are in churches. So, what do you mean that people begin by running? That's how we neglect the gospel. Running away from His word. Are you talking about people who are sitting at home? Some of them, they don't choose to sit at home. They are sick. Okay, some are not sick. They just don't want to wake up. We'll get to that. But what do you mean? They run away from the word of God. They are looking, as Christ put it in the Gospel of Matthew. They are looking for those who will tinkle their ears. Oh, that's Paul, actually. They are looking for those who will tinkle their ears. They are looking for those who will speak what they want to hear, not what God wants His people to hear. So people are flocking to where the gospel or the word of God is being preached. But actually, in the eyes of God, we have run away from His word. When we begin to speak stories, yeah, rather than the word of God. When we begin to appreciate one another in the pulpit instead of preaching the word of God. I know it is good to say, Happy Mother's Day. Oh, mamas, you look good if it's Mother's Day. Happy Father's Day, which everybody forget. Your father looks good. That's okay. But when we start talking stories and bring people, and people are sitting here because we speak good stories, we are good entertainers, we have run away from the word of God. If you begin to listen to a television or a televangelist on that tell-lie version that you have at home, just because they please you, we have run away from the word of God. You are being ignorant to the great salvation. That's where it starts. The people of old were ignorant to the word of God. They chose their own ways. They loved the world more than they would love the word of God. Most of them, they thought that God will be kind to them just because they're the children of Abraham. They put it upon themselves as they speak to Jesus Christ in the book of John chapter number 8. Christ says, you are sinners and you will die in your sin if you do not repent. You are slaves of sin. They say, no. We are not slaves of anyone. We are the children of Abraham. We are free. But Jesus says, no, you are not free. Only when the Son set you free, you are free indeed. So people of the old, they thought that categorizing themselves with Abraham, because Abraham is the father of faith, makes them the people of faith. Running away from their own responsibility. Neglecting their own salvation and conduct of this life. Some of them, they went out and thought that keeping a little bit of the law of God negates the judgment of God upon them. Christ meets this great young ruler and he says to him, go sell all that you have because you claim you have kept all the law of God. He says, no. Why? Because he thought by keeping the law of God, he has reached his peak. But no. He has neglected
this great salvation. He neglects this Lord Jesus Christ who speaks to him at that time. That's the people of old. But then we can think then, also we can think that, okay, once I have been saved, then all is well with my life. Remember, we preach that there is something called the perseverance of the saints. Once a salvation package has been given to you, if you will, or once you are saved, you will not lose your salvation, which is true. But then we think we can use that to be ignorant towards our salvation. We think we can use our so-called coming to church and just be in church to be ignorant to our own. No. We cannot be ignorant to our own individual lives by running away from our responsibility. Christianity is a responsibility that we should take hold of it by both hands. Not looking at the past, but looking at now. How I am today. How is it that I live my life today? But let's move on. The point that we are trying to make is that we need to realize the seriousness of the Bible when it speaks of this great salvation. We need to realize the seriousness of the Bible when it says only we should hold on to one thing. We should hold on to Christ. Because why? Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the only way we cannot be ignorant of this great salvation when we take heed of His word on daily basis. When we take heed of His word everywhere we are. We neglect this great salvation. Tell me I'm wrong. Families have neglected their family worship. Husband and wife, they don't pray together. The children and their parents have neglected their coming together and pray together because we neglect this great salvation. The churches have neglected the coming together in the morning and have a prayer meeting. We neglect this great salvation. Now I'm giving you how we neglect this great salvation. We think, you know what, one day we'll do it. 2 years later, we still have not done it. We neglect this great salvation simply because why? People don't want to wake up in the morning. No, it's too late to wake up at 9. But I'll wake up Monday morning, 6 o'clock when I go to work. But I'm not going to wake up early to come to church. We neglect this great salvation. In that way, our commitment is nowhere to be found. At home, at work, even here. Some of the schools who used to have what we call Christian something student, Christian movement, whatever they used to call it, whereby around 12 they will come together and preach the gospel and pray together, they have neglected those things. Consequently, people who are coming out of these schools are nyaupe addicts. Not saying that is the only reason, but when Christ is dethroned, when God has been moved out of your life, at home, even here, this great salvation is neglected. Families have neglected this. People are playing a game. They've become lukewarm. You don't know where they stand. They're in the church once a month, then they're gone. Then you think they're gone, 6 months later they come back. You ask what was happening. My wife. My work. Oh yeah, your work. You forced to work Sundays, even when your boss said you can be off on Sunday, but when you just want it overtime, because this great salvation is not important. Church, that's what happens. We neglect this great salvation. You might not have done that, but I'm giving you a broad way of thinking how we neglect this great salvation. Easy to fall asleep and go to sleep without communicating and being in contact with the God who created you. You think you're neglecting prayer. Prayer is not just prayer, because anyone can pray. No, you have not neglected prayer. You have neglected your great salvation. And there will be great consequences. Because that is when you become lukewarm in the church and you keep the elders in the dark. They don't know where you are. They don't know who you are. They don't know what to do with you. Are you a member? Are you not a member? Are you a Christian? Or are you still not a Christian? We don't know. When we think we are a Christian, then you come burning with fire on the next Sunday, you are a Christian. When we think, whoa, praise the Lord, is a Christian, then you're dead again. Because you only neglect your salvation. Read your Bible. Be in contact with the Lord. Day by day. Live in accordance. So the truth is, church, we neglect our salvation when we stop feeding the flames that I was talking about. When you stop feeding the gift that God has given you. When you stop feeding yourselves with spiritual food. That's when you become a malnutritioned Christian. Let me explain what is that. A malnutritioned Christian is like a malnutritioned child. A child. Udinga breastfeeding. Udinga even the milk from the shops. Udinga that soft food. Ezinye zibuya from the company called Purity. You remember those small liquid things? Ezinye emakhaya zezumdoko, which has got nutrients that support the child. Take away those things from the child. That child become tends to be in a very unacceptable shape, if you will. Could have a big stomach and a big head, but the body is small. Big stomach doesn't mean you're full of food, and the head doesn't mean you're full of brains. No, church. It means this child is malnutritioned. That happens to the Christian that is malnutrition. Big stomach, big head, I know it all. But actually, you know nothing. I'm being serious. Because we stop feeding ourselves with spiritual food. That is when we neglect our personal walk with God. We neglect our personal encounter with God through His Word. We neglect our commitment to God in His church. We are not committed anymore. We have neglected. That is what it means to neglect this great salvation. There's more example that we can bring, but let us move on. Why do you think God did not approve of Israel or the people of Israel to mix with the pagan people of those times? Why? Simply because God knew that once they mix up with those people, they will neglect their salvation. They will follow the God of this world in the same way. When we neglect God, we follow the things of this world. That is why God wants us to be separated from the things of this world, the people of this world, the ways of this world, because we will soon fall into the trap and the snare of the devil, whereby he will show us the good, so-called good things of this world, and we will get hold of these things. Where the influence is a problem, where the influence caused us to neglect the salvation that was once delivered unto us. Wrong friends caused us to neglect this great salvation that was once delivered to us. That is what happened to the people of old. That is why the New Testament says, flesh always craves for what is in contrary with the spirit. In other words, flesh always wants to wrestle with the things that God brings. So do not feed yourself the things of the flesh, because flesh will take over. Feed yourself with the things of God, so that God's word and God's spirit takes over in your life. That is why we have many people, we have become disheartened in the church. People have become disheartened, but when people become disheartened, they become careless. It starts from being disheartened and plugging yourself, as it were, from that wall of the power and electricity of God's Spirit, and plugging yourself, becoming careless then afterwards. Then we end up blaming the devil of our ignorance. But actually, we are not taking heed of the gospel or the truth that was given unto us. You see that down the line, the Christian who is disheartened, the Christian who is careless, begins to forget Jesus. We forget Jesus. We no longer point to Jesus. It is all about me, myself, and I. I feel this way. I see things this way. I want things this way. No more does a person say, God feels this way. God wants things this way. No, we don't say that anymore. I want it this way. I want it my way. Because we stop feeding the flames of the gift, we stop acknowledging and admiring the salvation, the great salvation preached by Christ, preached by those who witnessed, preached by God Himself. We ignore. That's what it means to ignore. Turning away from that which we know. Turning a blind eye from the truth. Knowing this is true, but not taking heed of the truth. Ignoring the great salvation. Church, we must not ignore the desires of the flesh. So we may think we're speaking about not ignoring the salvation only. That is true, but must not also ignore the desires of the flesh. In other words, I'm not saying feed the desires of the flesh, but don't act like they are not there. Acknowledge the desires of the flesh by running to God. Do not neglect, do not ignore the fact that there is an inward, ongoing war between yourself and your sin that still lives within you. There is a war waging within you. Flesh is fighting the spirit. There's a wrestling match that is going on day by day within us. You ignore that wrestling match. You ignore that ongoing fight. You begin to lose the fight. But you know, those who watch wrestling, they will tell you, you not only get beaten by being knocked out, you can also tap out. So Christians don't get to be knocked out. They tap out. In other words, they admit a lose, but by saying it was not really a loss. It was not really a loss. Circumstances forced me to tap out. If it was not the circumstances, I was not going to tap out. No, 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 church. You just want to make it easy for yourself. You have lost because you ignored the inward wrestling match that is taking place within you, where the soul is always fighting and wrestling against the things of this world, whereby the flesh is always craving for sin and always wanting to dominate your life. Another thing is this. Let us not forget that we are living in a very challenging time and a very challenging generation. We must not forget that. Not only do we not neglect the ongoing fight within, but also there's an ongoing fight without. It is not only the problem that is on the inside, there's also problems on the outside. We must not also turn a blind eye from the things that are outside. It is easy, church, to neglect this great salvation whereby you just accept the standard of this world. It is easy. Once we accept the standard of this world, we neglect this great salvation. Good churches have turned from good doctrine because they accepted the standard of the world. Let us not forget that the world is also an influence. One more thing. Being too concerned, if you are too concerned about your daily worries and your daily concerns, that can cause you to ignore this great salvation. You are so concerned about the things of this world that happens to you on a daily basis. In other words, we have allowed suffering, if you will, to give you so much questions. Why is this happening to me? So you end up concerning yourself with your sickness. I am sick. Or you end up concerning yourself with, I am poor. Then you isolate yourself from the things of God because of those reasons. You neglect the great salvation which was preached to you. In other words, then, church, when you only think of money, in other words, when you only think of yourself, you'll only put yourself at the center, whereby you should put God in that center. There are many concerns that this life brings, church. We cannot ignore that. I'm not saying we should look away from that. There are so many concerns. But those concerns are out there to slow us down. We are running this race that is set before us. So as we run this race that is set before us,
We want to run this race with endurance, with patience. In other words, we want to be running fast while we are actually taking things easy. But taking things easy does not mean accepting or allowing the things of this world to slow us down. Do you see the difference? Running the race is to run, but running patiently meaning you are running in a way that we are so vigilant of the things that are happening in the race. We are not just running and looking forward to the crown. You're looking on the sides as well. What is trying to hold on to you so that you get rid of the sin that is easily attached itself to you as well. You're running with patience the race that is set before you. But running with patience this race, as I repeat myself again, it is not to allow the worldly concern to slow you down. We allow that, we ignore this great salvation. We stop paying careful attention. That is what verse 1 says. Look at verse 1, Hebrews chapter number 2, where we are. Therefore, we must pay much close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. We must pay close attention. That is the only way to keep up with this way, this life of being a Christian. There is no other way, in other words. There is no other way or anyone else to look up to but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our daily concerns can cause us to ignore. The third question, which is the last question. Can we escape when we neglect this great salvation? We see that in verse number 3, in a form of a question. It is in a form of a question. How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The question is very simple. Is there any way to escape great punishment? Is there any way to be saved from the punishment of God once we ignore great salvation? If we are ignorant of what God has done and ignorant of what God is doing, can we escape? If we don't embrace this great salvation as it is, if we don't embrace its offers of eternal life, is there any way to escape? If we don't keep up with the demand of the gospel, if we don't keep up with the demand of the life of Christ or the Christian life, is there any way to escape? The answer is very simple. It is straight before us, since this is in the form of a question. No, there is no escape when we ignore this great salvation. Once this great salvation is ignored, there is no escape. No one can escape. Listen to Joshua chapter number 5, verse 6. Let's turn there. Joshua 5, verse 6. Listen to what the Word of God says here. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, until all the nations, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he will not let them see the land which the Lord has sworn to give to their fathers and their children. I'm going to repeat myself since we are here. Not there. We are here. I am saying, God says here, the Word of God says here, in verse number 6, if you are there. For the people of Israel walked 40 years, that is very important to take note, in the wilderness, until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished. Those people perished in the wilderness. Why did they perish in the wilderness? Because God swore to their fathers that if they don't listen, obey His voice, they will perish. So the people, church, refuse to obey the voice of God. When people refuse to obey the voice of God, people perish in the hands of this loving God. That is what we hear here. There is no escape if we ignore this great salvation. They ignored it. They did not escape, but walked 40 years. Slow death. Walking 40 years. Having such great anticipation. Having such great hope that one day you will see a promised land, but die 40 years later in the wilderness. die in a journey that should have taken you 40 days, takes you 40 years. They died. Why? Because God is not good? No. Because they did not obey the word of God. Therefore, the writer here is referring to escaping the wrath of God. The question, can one escape the wrath of God if one is not seriously taking this gospel into consideration? Church, let me tell you, there is no experience so more terrible than being in a situation from which there is no escape. There is no situation so terrible than being in a place where there is no escape. And we put ourselves in that place where there is no escape when we disobey the word of God. When you look in chapter number 1 here, in Hebrews chapter number 1, we see that this is a loving God. He gave us His Son. It says He speaks to us through His Son. He sent His Son to live among us. And verse 4 here in the book of Hebrews confirms the same. God is a good God. He confirmed this gospel. He is a loving God. He went out His way to witness this great salvation. However, in His love, He tells us, in His love, He tells us that we cannot escape, but also, church, in His love, He tells us a way of escaping. In other words, God does not hold our sin forever. He tells us a way to escape. Once we ignore that way, there is no escape. That's what this is all about. He tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ who hung on that cross for us. We can escape through Him. Though our sin may be as red as a scarlet, but God can still reconcile us to Himself through His Son. He is the only way of escape. No other person is given any other way to escape except through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it is heartbreaking when people think that there is another way of escape. There is no other way to escape. Sitting at home and feeding the flames of laziness or the flames of fear that you have seen before God and not coming to His presence does not help. You need to come. You need to always be in the presence of God, not neglecting the coming together of believers, so that the flames of the gift of God may be fed even in you, so that you may be sustained in this life. It is so sad to see people who claim to be Christian, but they do not love this gospel. They do not keep this word of God. They do not think of this gospel. They do not meditate on this gospel day by day. They don't marvel on the fact that they were wretched sinners, but Christ saved them. We must marvel on those things. The writer here is emphasizing the fact that there is no place to escape where we cannot be found. Church, our ignorance will soon find us. That is what the writer is saying. There is no place to escape. Who can escape from God? Our ignorance will always find us. So the dilemma, church, is this one. People does not actually stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. But people suffer. Not because they stand against Jesus. Not because they don't embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Many people suffer because they refuse or neglect to respond to the message. Christians who are being saved, they fail or they fall under condemnation of God because they don't want to respond to what they hear day by day. Not because they don't love Jesus, but they don't respond when He says, turn from your wicked ways, or start being committed, or do 1, 2, 3. Then we do not want to do. Although we hold Him on Jesus, but on the same side. So, there's great consequences. The point here is that then there will be no escape. There's no escape of neglecting this great salvation. Does this mean that we are not going to get into heaven? Does this mean that God will not give us a second chance? No. God will certainly give us a second chance, but not without great consequences. As we get a second chance, there's also great consequences. Remember what happened to David himself. David, church, sinned before God. But David was given a second chance. David was restored when he sinned with Bathsheba. But when he was restored, although he remained a child of God, there were also great consequences. He suffered so much in his life. Suffered so much that his own children turned against each other. That some of his children turned against him, trying to kill him. His life fell apart because he neglected his great salvation. There was no escape for him. You see, where it meets this grace of God and his punishment, there was no escape for him. God restored him, but still great consequences. No escape. He suffered until he died. But here's something we need to learn from David as I'm closing church. Learn from David. Though he suffered great consequences, though he suffered because of his sin, he never turned his back from God. Never turn your back from God, regardless the fact that God might be chastising you or punishing you temporarily in this way. Never turn your back from God. He always longed to be with God. He always cried to be in the house of God. Although he was in the wilderness of suffering, as it were, but David looked forward to be in the house of God, saying in Psalm 42, "As a deer pant for flowing stream, so pant my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, thirsts for the living God. Where shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, because I remember the Lord." Do you remember the Lord in your sin? Or are you turning your back and running away? How can you run from God? Because your ignorance is going to find you. So why run away? Don't run away. Run back to Him. That is the point of this. Let's close, church. Let's see how long have we gone. Sure, 56 minutes. I'm closing. Let's end like this. Remember, because of this great salvation, we have peace with God. That's why this salvation is great. We have peace with God. So keep the peace. How do you keep the peace? By remaining in the house of the Lord for the days of your life. This salvation is so great, and it is not so great because it saves you, not so great because it saves us all here, but it's so great, even greater than what the Jews thought, because they thought it was to save the Jews alone. This salvation saves all nations, language, and tongues. It is so great. It is an unstoppable fire. You then don't quench this fire. Keep on feeding the flames of the gift that God has given you. Use your time wisely. The problem that we have, we don't use our times wisely. And when we don't use our time wisely, we ignore our salvation. Use your time wisely. Be aware of the cares and the concerns and the worries of this world. They can snatch you from the loving arms of God, and you find yourself wandering in the wilderness while calling yourself a child of God. It is possible. Wandering in the wilderness, calling yourself a child of God. So, church, we have all ignored our great salvation in the past or even today. But what matters most, church, is now take this salvation serious. When you hear the word of God, as the book of Hebrews said, do not harden your heart. Honor His word. Love His word. Believe His word. Do His word. Commit to His word. Escape sin through His word. Love one another, because His word says so. It is a shame finding Christians who does not love one another. Christians who look down on each other. Christians who hate one another. Is a shame. Love one another. The gospel says so. How do we show that we love one another? We pray for one another against the wrath of God, because it stands upon each and every one of us. But we pray. Why? Because we've got this great salvation that we do not want to neglect. Do not neglect great salvation. Preached by Christ. Heard by some. Impacted their lives. Witnessed by God. And it is also witnessed by God today, church. God is turning sinners into saints. God is molding and shaping each and every one of us on a daily basis. Do not neglect such great salvation. God bless us all. Let us pray.
Thank you, Lord, indeed.